Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth gear for all types of weather, all types of terrain, all types of budgets. It's clothing that just works. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. So this is episode 300, recorded in studio with Frank and John and a case of beer, just like we did it for episode one. So what a ride. There are some great stories in here. Kind of what we learned over the last 300 episodes, where we're at as far as hunting and what we're looking forward to for the next 300, right? But if you're a Patreon, stick around to the end and check your Patreon feed because we did record some a little bit extra for you guys, things that weren't that didn't quite make the podcast, but you're definitely going to want to tune in for. So you can check them out at patreon.com/Bowhunter Chronicles podcast, or just look at the link at our Instagram. However, for those of you that are already on Patreon, I will get this uploaded, I think, Friday. Video the whole thing. It is a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. And for this, we just want to thank everybody who has stuck with us through this journey, who's found us, who associates, resonates with us, kind of on the same wavelength. This has been a very, very fun journey, and look forward to continuing this ride. But who would have known that we would have made it this far? So anyways, this is episode 300, and you guys are going to love this. Please go over, check out all of our sponsors, our partners, Huntworth Gear, Latitude, Kanadi, Zinger, Lucky Buck, Big Shot, Genesis 3D, Spartan Forge, probably forgetting somebody. But over this, we've met so many great people, interacted with so many great companies, so much, Vitalized Seed, of course, all those guys, right? Support the people that support us. We're doing this for you. They're doing it for us. And, just a great ride. Thank you guys so much. I hope you have as much fun listening to this episode as we did recording it. As always, thanks for listening. All right, everybody. This is the 300th episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast. So I got John and Frank in studio today to kind of recap and just kind of, you know, I tried to give Frank a beer, but he's in there with the squirt. But I thought, you know, what the heck? Kind of back where we started.
What's he got in the squirt? You got some vodka in there?
Give me a beer.
All right.
Fuck the squirt.
There's a koozie right there, Frank. So John, go back all the way, like 300 episodes. I was thinking, oh, you know, we've been doing this for like 5 years, right? This is like the year 7 for real. Like we started in 2018, January.
Yeah.
And then like, just do the math. I'm like, oh, it's like 5 seasons, like whatever. Like, no, it's like a long ass time.
Yeah. Long. And I've been gone for what, the last year and a half at least.
Yeah. Well, that's where I get the 5 number. It's 5 with John, and it's been a solo venture for a little bit.
Now it's just the Adam podcast.
And then, do you remember when we started?
I remember like the first one. Yeah. It was like,
but I mean, how it even like came about. Cause I
remember you. Yeah. Cause you called like, hey, what do you think doing about doing a podcast? I'm like, yeah, I've been listening to a bunch of them.
I think I'd really be good at talking on the microphone.
Yeah, not me.
No, you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
John was all in. He was saying, yeah, I'd love to talk about things for hours.
Yeah, right. You know, and then it's, right, John?
Yeah. No, but so, I mean, when it comes down to it, and the people that know me that we've met through the podcast, like we're at ATA or any of the, you know, the get-togethers, when we start talking both, you know, technical stuff, then like you said, you can't shut John up at that point. But when I'm not good at interviewing people or asking people questions, I'm like, I listen. So that's where I get my, you know, collect my knowledge is, you know, from the people that know what they're talking about. And then if it's something I know what I'm talking about, then I'll talk. But
well, somebody's got to ask the questions to the people to get the information.
Exactly.
Know? So I don't know, but, I was trying today to like go back to that time to be like, yeah, I think we could do this. Let's do that. And I was like, I have no idea.
Like, then cause a family feud.
Yeah, then it would. I can't even. Oh, yeah. That was interesting time.
That's when we had what, 5 listeners and they're all family members.
Yeah.
Yeah. They already knew
they knew the whole story.
Right.
They knew what was going on.
They already knew the story. So any of you that want some information, just go back to the first 2 episodes. There's a hidden gem in there.
Oh. And what about you, Frank? Because you're like, I think when we started this, you didn't even know what a podcast was.
No, hell no. I didn't know what a podcast was, you know. But it's pretty incredible, really, you know. I mean, I give you guys a lot of credit for what you've accomplished, you know, and
what Adam's accomplished.
Well, how far you've gone. You know, I mean, we all had a hand in it for a while, you know, but it was just like, man, Adam's got so much knowledge, you know what I mean? And he answers or asks the questions, you know, and gets the right answers and stuff, you know, where, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm around, you know. I think it's really cool, though. I think it's a hell of a deal, you know.
Yeah, looking at the setup now, like we got cameras every which way. I'm looking at 4 different cameras right now.
They're not below the table, are they? I just had my hand in
microphones, all that going from. I mean, we're still on a Craftsman workbench.
Yeah,
not much different than the one we started on.
Yeah, and this is a door that I cut down and covered, so
a really heavy one, I might add too.
Yeah, so I mean, we still got our roots, you know. But you know, I for me, I just think back of like, I don't think anything necessarily would have been any different as far as the I want to say like the people that we are or whatever, but like the amount of like knowledge I've gained and experiences I've had, and especially like think about like how many states I've hunted in and animals and all different things. I mean, like, I think all these deer on the wall, except for John's, came from during the podcast. And like, all, I mean, I never found a shed before any of the podcasts, any of that stuff. Like, just, you know, when I'm asking the questions and getting that knowledge or whatever, like being able to go out and apply it, or at least have it in my mind when I go out and I'm standing there. Cause I mean, I could, you know, better than anybody else, John, like I could hunt with Frank a lot in as much in as I could, but like Frank isn't necessarily able to articulate the, well, I just walked down and I saw a tree and that was the tree. Like, what was it? And he was like, I don't know. I just got to a point and I was like, I'm going to kill a buck out of this tree.
Like, right.
Like,
what were you looking for? I don't know. That tree. That,
you know,
tree,
right? there was a runway and it was getting kind of light out. Like, that was the tree, you know? So like, I'm not discounting that.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm just saying like to have more, I guess, like people in my head or more to like pull from, I guess.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The pool of knowledge.
Right.
But I can tell you this, like, for, when we were talking about it with these bow builds and stuff, that I need to get more well versed in not the bow tuning, because I know I'm like, I feel like I'm one of those people now that's like the people that we all hate about with deer hunting, right? Like the guy that knows it all but he doesn't do it. Like I can tell you why it's tearing right or tearing left or like what to do, but I don't know how to.
Right.
I don't know how to put it in the press and take the string and do all that, you know.
There's a lot of guys that do that. I mean, that like, hey, I don't have time. Just get my bow tuned and I'm going to go kill some shit with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is like we have, especially with the club, have all the access to do all that. So there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to do some of it myself.
Right.
Even, mm-hmm. you know, we had a guy, Shane. He just went and had somebody retie his D-loop, and there was no soft knocks and there was no marks on the string. And then he went and tried to do our one shot challenge. And I'm like, oh, did you tie in soft knocks? Did you have marks? You know, like I said, I know all the stuff,
right?
But I, you know, I'm not doing it. You know, that's not,
that's what I'm for.
Yeah, I know. Like I can set all this shit up, but I can't do that. But I've learned so much about, like arrow flight. And I mean, it's not that I did well at all this weekend shooting at this 3D shoot, but I was shooting the hinge and I was making my shots. And I'm fairly certain, like I know enough now to know that like my problem in making a good shot at this moment is all in the execution of my release. Like when I make a bad shot or when something goes sideways, it's because of my anchor point and moving my hand too much, not just moving. Like if I just relax my index finger and let it shoot, like I can break a clean shot. But when I don't do that, the arrow goes left or right or,
right.
or whatever. But I mean, I was shooting, we were shooting this past weekend, and the next podcast that I have, we recorded one there, but like Brad had never shot 3D or even like at like 3D targets or anything like that. So this was a regular, like a 4Bs type course. Mm-hmm. And like, if you get to a 3D course or even the Total Archery Challenge and there's nobody around on this shot or that shot, what do? You see a target over there at 90 yards. You're like,
I can hit that.
And so I was shooting at like a javelina or a hog at 108 yards. I'm like, I think I can get that, you know, and, you know, hitting it one out of three arrows. You know, I shot a turkey at, I don't know, 90 yards, 98 yards or something. And he's just like, what are you doing? Like, there's nobody around. Like it's safe. Like, why not? There's a target over
there.
That's
what's fun.
I know. I'm like, and that's just, I feel like you guys, like the people that I roll around with, like when we go to these things, like if you go out to the club and there's nobody around and you're like, you think I can hit that from here? Like, how far is that?
Are you going across the road?
Yeah. At tack too. Like, yeah. Like, what's that one over there? Oh, it's like 110.
I'm going to shoot it. Yeah. Like you're walking up to one and it's like, you're like, is that our target? Oh, I'm shooting it from here. I'm 100% shooting it from here. And like I say, like prior to any of this, like we did go up to the Total Archer Challenge, but I think it like, you know, changed some things, but like, I don't know. Like, I think it's really expanded like my mind as far as like archery and all that stuff. And you know, like I'm more on the gear side than the, in the hunting side than like the nerd side of it.
Right.
Like I'll just throw money at something. Right. So I don't know. But like for you, I guess I'll ask both of you this question. I'll start with Frank though. Like in this time frame, like what do you think has been the biggest change as far as like what you've seen in hunting, whether it's attitudes or equipment or styles from even just the last 7 years and not your entire career?
I know that the technology with the equipment and stuff has changed dramatically. The saddle hunting that you guys do, just the distances that guys are shooting with bows now. I mean, I never shot, you know, I mean, I killed a deer at 50 some yards, you know, without a sight, you know, but that was guesswork, you know, and this is crazy. You know what I mean? To shoot 100 yards, 120 yards, you know, 150 yards, you know, that's nuts. You know, I would have never, you know, comprehended that before, you know, never tried it, you know, but it's everything. I think that's come through the podcast though is about learning about the whole thing, you know. I mean, not only just the bows and the shooting and the equipment, the tree stands, but food plots and things like that, you know, everything, you know, that we've attractants, everything that you've covered, you know, has made an impact, I think, on me, you know.
As far as technology, what's your take now from like a global perspective, like long term, right? So like since the day you started hunting to today on like the cell cams.
Oh, that's, you know, unreal. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable to you put them out, man. I mean, you know, my buddy's sending me pictures all the time from Ohio, you know.
So do you think it's like good for hunting or bad for hunting hunters?
It's hard to say. I mean, so many people target big bucks, they, you know, supposedly, you know, with their cameras, you know, yes, we've had this one on camera 27 times, you know, but here's the thing. We've put cameras out, never seen this buck before because he doesn't go in front of the camera, you know what I mean? Or whatever, you know, but he's there, you know, he ends up maybe getting killed or maybe somebody sees him, but you know, it's that kind of thing. You know, I mean, you can rely on the camera too much, I think. You know, you have to still, you know, keep the skills there, you know, that you've went in there with, you know. Don't lose context with that, you know.
What do you think, John? Like both in the span of like the last 7 years or however long we've been doing this.
So Frank kind of touched on it, but the biggest thing like is the saddle.
But those aren't new, right? I mean, right, we knew they existed.
Yeah. But just the re-implementation of them, like, you know, with Tethered, obviously, they were like the leaders coming back out and getting everyone, I mean, in the saddle group or the forums and stuff. But, and they even got me, like, I mean, we've said this 100 times, like, when you first got that first saddle, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing in that diaper? Like, yeah, I ain't getting in one of those. And then it came down to her, you know, obviously,
one sit,
and I'm like, yeah, screw them tree stands, man. I'm in. And so that was huge. I mean, for me, and just, you know, an eye opener. Obviously the equipment, I mean, the bows have just gotten better and better. I mean, it's incremental at this point. But the touching on the cell cam, obviously, you know, I have one cell cam. It just sits at my property. Well, it sat at my property up north for 2 years. Now it's at my new house. So I don't really, that's not part of my arsenal. But thinking about the people that, I mean, there's the different groups that put out a bunch of cell cams, they'll use it, get an inventory. And then you hear stories about the guys that have them out and they're like, oh, he's here now. Like, go out. I think we kind of talked about before, like how Frank shot, you know, the one or had it, he's in his underwear. Like, what's the difference between the two? Well, there's a big difference. Obviously, you can't be in 10 different places at one time, but your cameras can. So, you know, and then it comes to also, like, you know, when we first started out, we had Onyx. And that was like, holy cow, this is a game changer. And then we went to Basemap. And then they added some really cool, you know, features to it and made it even better. And then now, you know, we're running Spartan Forge, which I haven't used much, but
now it's got LiDAR, so you can see every bump in the curvature of the earth.
Yeah. So,
and yeah. Yeah.
So just, and you know, that happened to a couple spots that we hunted, like our family has hunted for years. And now all of a sudden there's new guys coming into the, you know, into the mix. And it's like, well, how do you find this? Oh, Onyx, you know, so it's kind of making the hunting smaller and, you know, like it's making it even harder, I think, to the point. And then even these podcasts, I mean, we're putting out so much information, or you are, you know, with it's taming the curve. You know, the guys that really want to learn how to hunt need to listen to these kind of podcasts, and it's going to cut that learning curve way down.
Oh yeah.
I mean, sure. You can't substitute time in the woods, but if you have the knowledge listening to these.
Are you overwhelmed by the hundreds of food plot mixes out there? Well, you are not alone. And Vitalize Seed has developed a program that takes the guesswork out of food plotting. Vitalize makes it simple with their two core mixes, Nitro Boost and Carbon Load. Nitro Boost is their spring-summer food plot mix, and Carbon Load is for planting in the fall, each having a diverse mix of over a dozen seed types that are highly attractive to whitetail. Food plotting made simple. Each mix provides necessary nutrients to the soil, making for better plots each season. This also saves you money by needing less Roundup and fertilizer every year. The 1-2 system simplifies your food plots just how nature intended. And for the more advanced habitat managers, Vitalize also offers a variety of natural amendments with products like their seed feed that offer seeds immediately available minerals ready as soon as they germinate. Make biology work for you. Order now at vitalizeseed.com.
It's going to cut down. Okay. Like you've done it yourself. Like that's why they're doing this, or see it now, you know it because you talked to Andy May or you talked to all these guys that kill these big bucks and spend all this time in the woods and learned it. Now you're shortening the learning curve for the new guys, even older guys. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I guess that's like I guess what I see is the difference there is that, like, I guess when I feel like I do it, like it is not, and I'm not saying that this is everybody, but I think that there's so much like ego in hunting, and like I'm really like on the Dan Infault mindset of like it's me against myself, not the Greg Litzinger mindset of it's fuck everybody else, I'm gonna go in and kill the buck that you can't. You know what I mean? Right. Like I'm just going like what I was doing wasn't working. These guys seem to have it figured out. Like they can't just be the luckiest guys in the world.
Right. What can I do to change it up to get a little better?
But I also feel like, I mean, we were talking about it when we were driving around this weekend. Like, I would rather go in blind and see a buck than set a camera and have one in there, because it's like, it is like the validation of like being right. Like I would rather be right than kill the deer. And then that's like, you know, I obviously want to be successful, but like knowing that I went
to the spot and it all like lined up, right?
Right.
Because, you know, we're all going to make bad shots. We're all going to, you know, shit's going to go wrong. Like the wind's going to be wrong, like whatever. But just knowing that I thought the deer was going to be here on this day when he was, and the wind was wrong and I got busted or whatever. There's so many things, but like to be, I'm at the point where for me to be right is just as important as like killing the deer, because I'm not that confident.
That's what I've been explaining to you for so long. I've been right 1,000 times and killed 2 of them sons of bitches.
Yeah. I mean, to that point, you know, like I get what you're saying. I don't use cameras in the woods. I mean, when I do get to hunt, I like to just go out and try to find a spot. But I'm not like Andy May or Greg Litzinger. I'm not putting hundreds and hundreds of hours in scouting and finding these bucks or these areas. I mean, it's like what you're saying. If you do the homework, you're going to be putting that camera in the right place. So what guys are doing that, they're trying to do that to find like the buck that they want to kill.
Yeah, but I think like, and I've said it a bunch, I'm going to say it again. And I guess that's like, I'll just go on record. And I said that over the weekend, like I guess I want someone to call me out on it, really, because I think that we need, one of the things that I don't do well is hunt in state like I hunt out of state. I don't in state, and we're all guilty of it for the most part, is we prioritize our time differently. So when I'm out of state, I got nothing else except for that. So I prioritize my time, and it's not time in the stand. It's I want to go and find the best sign and put myself on top of that best sign instead of like, I can run over here real quick for a hunt tonight. Sure. And then, you know, as far as like it, how it lines up, like, oh, I hunted this many sits. Well, half of those sits are bullshit sits because you were just trying to get in a tree.
Right.
And I think in 2018 was like the only year I tagged out in Michigan, but that's what I did, is the same thing we did in Idaho, was just, I just ran every single piece of public ground that I could, and then was like, okay, we need to be here. I need to be here. I need to do this. And, you know, it worked out just, you know, on a whim, but I didn't like waste a whole lot of time.
Right. I mean, when we're in our home state, obviously it's like what you're saying. I got, where can I go? I got an hour to get to where I'm going to hunt. Yeah. And it's, you know, like just pick an old tree or like an old area, not necessarily the same tree, whatever. But when we're out of state, it's a time crunch. Like we got 7 days to find deer and kill a deer or get on deer, you know? So yeah. And then you have nothing else in that time frame. You know, you're not going to softball practice. You're not, you know, It's just 100% focus on killing the deer. So,
but I think like along with that, like one thing that like parallels that, and I think a lot of guys and some of them in the Patreon group too, is they prioritize, and I've done it, like the cell cam picture, because you're like, okay, I got them on this pattern, like da 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 da, like, or even worse is, and I did it last year, and I mean the biggest buck that I ever have had on camera in this one area was there that day. And I told myself, I said, I know that I need to be there. I've got the right wind. I've got good access. Like I had stuff on the camera that was going on. So there was deer actively using the area, but it wasn't like, oh, I got to go chase this buck. And then it was like, oh, I don't know, it's a long drive, it's hard to get back in there, I'm going to go here closer to home. And then boom, big buck on that camera.
Yeah.
Like right when I was sitting in a dumb place. But the opposite of that is, you're chasing a picture. So what did I do the next day? I'm like, I got to be there the next day. And I sat for 4 hours in a rainstorm, didn't see anything, soaked to the bone, went to another spot, forgot my shoes. Like, so I had to go find my shoes. Like, you know, just dumb. But we're chasing that picture instead of like
getting out and hunt.
Well, you gotta be, but understanding, like, I knew where I needed to be the day before.
Right.
Right.
You know,
you have to be in that spot. You know, yeah, you, and that's where, you know, those cameras, you know, like I say, they can dick you in a way, you know what I mean? So it's just, you gotta put in the time, you know, you gotta hunt there. You gotta hunt those spots. You know, you gotta be careful you don't blow them out of there, but you know, you still gotta be there.
So for John, as the brainchild, the brain trust of this podcast, the guy who, wow, you even said, like, that's how I know stuff is because I listen, right? So what have you learned? Like, what's one of the biggest takeaways that you've had, like, over this time period?
Well, one thing that's, like, and I think I've said this before, like, the consistent takeaway from the guys that kill the big bucks consistently, those guys put all their free time into the woods. They know where the big bucks in fault. Well, I got, what, 30 trees. You know, he knows all these different spots. Andy May's got all these, you know, spots. Litzinger, he's out. He's posting pictures of him out scouting, you know, right now, doing all that, putting up. But that's like, that's what they're dedicated to. They're going out to kill those big bucks. And my takeaway is, like, if I really wanted to, you know, consistently go out and kill big bucks, I'm gonna have to
quit building houses.
And, you know,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, just get and hunt, go out and hunt.
That's what you got to do, dude.
But I mean, those guys are, I mean, they're a whole different breed, really. I mean, when it comes down to it.
My question is, do you really want to dedicate that much of your time and your life to that? You have to really be, you know, focused and driven to do that. You know, that's what these guys are, you know. You can go out and kill deer, you know, and some people are happy with that, you know, me being one of them, you know.
Me too. Like, yeah. So, I mean, I just like getting out in the woods. I mean, you've seen some of the videos that, like, I didn't, like, go to the UP, seen some nice bucks, but I just like getting out in the woods and hunting, seeing deer. You know, I love to eat deer, but I'm the only one now in my family, you know, in my household that eats, you know, venison.
Just tell your wife that it's chicken.
Some dark chicken. She took a bite of a backstrap one time.
I can't believe she doesn't want them every day.
Oh, she spit it right out. But yeah.
But I think that would be, I think I would view that through a different, I would turn that 180 and say, since I'm the only one that's eating these deer, I should make it a goal to go out and shoot the biggest, to find the biggest one to do that, because it's a, I mean, I guess, like, for me, and, you know, you guys are on a much different level, but, like, I'm confident that I can go out and find a deer to kill, but finding a racked buck to kill has never been my strong suit. But that's not the, you know, the first, you know, 10 years that I ever hunted was just go out, sit here, and there's deer crawling like spiders, and just shoot one when they come by with a rifle, you know?
Right.
And, you know, then, you know, you pick and choose and learn along the way and stuff like that. And then hunting with Frank, I was able to be like, pick up on, you know, different nuances and stuff like that. But Frank's always been a deer hunter. Like, he can kill a buck and anywhere. in somewhere that it doesn't have any deer, you know?
Right.
But for me, that was never the case. So that's why I'm trying to, like, find a 3-year-old buck or 2.5-year-old buck or something, because the rest of them, it's become easier for me. But Stella likes to eat it. Casey likes to eat it. Like, it's, you know, when I do stuff like that, that's not a big deal. Well, now flip that on its head. And it's like, if I was the only one eating deer,
and might as well kill the big,
might as well, right, you know, put in a little bit of a different effort. And it's not like you don't know where to go. I mean, you go hunt with Jason and you could break that down in 30 seconds. Like, I look at that on the map and I'm like, oh, that's kind of Jason's area. I probably shouldn't go poking around up there. You know?
Yeah. And we've done that. I mean, and you know, I've seen some big bucks up there, and you know, in the little bit of time I've put in, and I mean, yeah, and there was another one that was just north of here that, you know, I was putting some time in on, and I'm confident I can go find a big buck. I just haven't dedicated the time, you know, like, obviously
doing, you know, in when I hunt now, like here in Michigan, you know, I would probably be, you know, a little more, you know, choosy on what I shoot, you know. You'd have to have at least 3, you know. But I shot this, you know, this was probably one of the best seasons I've had in a while last year. And I killed 3 does last year, you know, 2 with my bow and 1 with a muzzleloader. And I'll tell you what, I was a happy man, you know. I had a great season, you know. I had an opportunity at a couple of nice bucks, you know. Screwed up on one of them, you know. But they were nice deer, you know. But, hey, it ain't going to break my heart to eat that meat. I can tell you that right now. You know, I love it.
And just for like completeness sake, just because like, I think we're going to get to a point where I'm not going to realize it. Kind of like what happened when I was in Colorado with my dad. Like, how old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
71. I'll be 72 in October.
Cause like when I was in Colorado and I was hunting with my dad, like big bull. And I took off running, and I'm like, we just got to get over this hill, and you can shoot him with a rifle, I guarantee it. And I turned around, and he was like just getting out of the tree, just getting out of the blind, like wherever we were underneath this tree. And I was like at the top of the ridge, and I'm like, look back. And that it was at that moment that I realized that my dad was a lot older than me, yeah, you know?
Well, and the thing is, I get out of bed in the morning, and I realize I'm a lot older too, you know what I mean? That's the thing, you know? It ain't... I'll tell you,
but here's the thing. There's a lot of guys that are in their 60s that aren't even hunting like you, and you're in your 70s still out there.
Yeah. And like I say, I can't keep up with either one of you guys even walking, you know what I mean? But I give it my best shot, yet, you know, it might take me a little longer.
70 years old, he's up on the roof throwing shingles at me. I mean, come on.
You know, it's like, I try to stay at it, you know, as much as I can, you know, and I love it. I love it all, you know, all the bullshit that we do together and stuff, you know, I love all that, you know, but the hunting part of it, man, I don't know, man, until I can't do it anymore, you know?
Yeah. And what I think is great, Frank, I mean, I guess, was there a time like back in your youth where it was when you were 17 or 35 or 50 where there was any like ego involved or like you were trying to kill the biggest deer, bigger deer than so and so? I think the wall of mutants say no
but- no, it was just you know, I think it was more numbers back then than anything, you know. But you know, we could shoot deer, you know, but it was like, you know, I just, if a big one come by, you know, okay, you know, if it didn't, you're next, you know. That's all there is to it, you know.
So in that manner of thinking, and you killed a lot of deer with a gun and killed, you know, just as many with a bow, but what went into like your choosing your spots? Because now we look at it as like, oh, you know, where are bucks bedding and blah, 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 and all this, you know.
I think my spots were basically like, you know, I would, if there was food sources or something, that would be, you know, like acorns or whatever, you know, and we hunted the big oaks all the time, you know? Right. So, I mean, if we had acorns, that was a plus. Or if you were near farm fields, you know, or whatever. But I just got between the food source and the bedding, knew that there was going to be deer traffic there, you know what I mean? And then as far as doe traffic, you know, during the rut, that's what you're looking for, you know? That's what I always just kind of looked for, you know?
I think we said this before, like, I remember when I was little hunting with these guys, and it'd be hours of just driving around on the two tracks looking at runways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then my dad would be like, get out and brush that off. Like, get a pine bough, brush that. Don't want no one seeing them tracks, you know?
Well,
but that was like, you know, looking for the deer movement. So it wasn't as much like, I never heard anything about bedding back then. It was just like the deer, they're
deer crossing here.
Crossing
deer here. Deer crossing here.
So, food sources, you know, out here.
Yeah. So you need to be, you know, here.
Well, so, and that's what's crazy about this whole thing and all that is like, I think when I started dating Casey, like Frank was your age, John. So like, and that's what we would do. And so I was young and I was, I'm still the same to this day. Like I'll still do whatever and still go hunting, but like I would be so hungover. I would have like 30 minutes of sleep and I'd go over to Frank's and we would get in the car and I'd sleep to wherever we were going. So like, I never knew, like I like had zero idea of like where I was at, you know, cause you've been around him enough and we all have that uncle or dad or like Matt, who we hunted in Colorado with, his buddy's dad, Tom, who we hunted in Colorado with, is Frank Ackerberg. He's like, well, so you go down there and there's a red truck and then, you know, old man so-and-so used to live here. Well, you turn there. Remember we hunted there? It was one time it was dark and then it got light and then there was deer. Like, no, Frank, I was hungover or still drunk from the ride up. I slept in the car and that's what we did all the way home from wherever we were at was like, we're going to go check here. And then we would go and wander around and we'd get back in the truck and I'm like hungover. I'm like, I just want to get home. Like, can I please just get home? I'm trapped in this vehicle. And, you know, now that's how all these guys are. They're so solely focused on tracks looking for, I mean, we didn't look for big, we'd say, okay, that's a big track, but it wasn't like not, we're taking note. You know, I wasn't writing in a journal or anything like that.
My old man, he would look at like the tracks like, oh, it's a big track.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then he would sit though. He would sit on a road and just watch that road, you know? He said, Frankie, that deer crossed at 10:30 this morning. Big buck crossed 10:30 right there, you know, yeah. right by that oak tree right there, you know. And I don't know how countless times we did stuff like that, you know.
Well, I remember that. Like, I remember those times. I remember your dad in that van doing all that same stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that's what I was hoping that Frank was going to do for the Patreon hunt because I'm like, I know these deer cross this road, but I just can't be there. You know, I'm like, you ain't got shit else to do. Just go up, sit there at the end of the road, drink some coffee.
No,
and channel John Borsma.
Cell cams now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We just had your dad.
Yeah.
But
we had the old man cell cam.
Yeah. Really?
Dad, where are the bucks?
Oh, there's one over here on 69th Street.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but so what I find myself doing now, and it's, I mean, you talked about like, Onyx Spartan Forge. I mean, I was coming from home from work the other day, driving home, and I'm driving back roads, and I'm driving home at 7:30, quarter to eight. You know, there's turkeys on the side of the road. I know they're going to roost somewhere, and I'm just pinning them as I'm driving. And then I got back home, and I'll be God, you know, God dang if they ain't both them spots are public. And I'm like, all right, game on, you know. And I do that with deer all the way all summer. Up to, you know, Big Star and back, like where we're hunting for Patreon hunt, all that stuff. Everywhere I'm driving around, if I see a deer, like I'm pinning it, and then I'll make a decision like why were they there, where were they going, what was the right deal. So that's, it's like the balance of the old school and,
right,
and new school. And I think, you know, that's what's interesting about like the timing of all of this and how it's all going, because, you know, I'm watching in real time, like a guys like myself learning, you know, from just digesting all this information. And then these adult onset hunters, these guys that grab onto this, and then it's their new, like, I guess I would be like almost like somewhat envious, right? Cause it's their new passion. And you know, when something is new and you're like, oh man, I'm going to get all this information and then I'm going to execute on it and I'm not going to focus on anything else. Whereas like for us, it's like, man, I've been hunting so long that like, this is just what we do. But then we fall into that, like those old lazy habits, like, mm-hmm. oh, we're just going to go run over here for a half hour, even though we know we're not going to see anything. But
I know what I should do, but
Yeah.
I know this is what I'm going to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Old habits. You're just falling back into old habits. But
the biggest thing I think about nowadays, too, though, is guys trying to make time. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I think there's so much emphasis on your jobs and home life and stuff like that, you know. Whereas
you're just like, fuck those kids, I'm going hunting.
Yeah, you know.
Oh shit, I didn't see my dad.
You know,
like
I'm just going.
My old
man, there was wars, dude.
My old man would be like during hunting season, and then all of a sudden be fishing, like, oh, it's summer, there's nothing going on. Dad's here. You know, like, then you know,
it's nothing for his dad, dude, to drive from Florida to the UP in a motorhome, thousands of miles. You know what I mean? And he'd hunt for 2-3 days, and the next thing you know, yeah, he's back in Florida again. You know?
But yeah,
no, our times of, you know, when I was first married, you know, and kids were little and stuff, it was, you know, my wife and I, you know, I was like, is that all you do is hunt and fish? And I said, yep, you married me. You knew what I did, you know? So in work, you know, but it got to be, you know, a little more relaxed, you know, the older you get and stuff. Now it's just like, yeah, you're going, okay, see ya.
Go fishing.
When you coming back? You can stay an extra week or two. I don't care. You know?
And so that's what I try to explain to people is like, you know, like this year I'm going to Colorado. And it wasn't, my wife wasn't like mad about it or anything. She was just like, where are you going now? And I'm like, well, I'm going with your dad. And same thing last time. I think last time I went to Colorado, she's like, oh, I mean, my dad's going. So, I mean, I guess. Right. So it's just.
Take care of his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that time, that was the only elk you'd seen in the woods. So,
right. You know. And I talked to my wife a while back. We were kind of discussing things. And I said, I'd really like to do a big, you know, kind of a bigger hunt, you know. The older I'm getting, you know, I'm not going to be able to, you know, do this stuff, you know, I don't know for how long, you know. Well, she goes, well, how big, you know? And I says, I don't know, maybe something in Texas, you know. How much? She's going, you know, and I says, we'll discuss that later. I said, but I would really kind of like to see if we could organize something like that, you know, us guys, you know.
It depends on how much, because if we're talking, like, I don't know. I know that there's some pretty inexpensive, like, moose hunts in Canada. Like, they're not the big moose, but they're still
a moose. Miniature moose or what?
Well, it's not the 60 inch moose.
No,
mice mooses.
Maybe one sided moose.
It's the one third.
Yeah.
It's the one third.
Yeah. Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Go to the Reinhardt ranch.
So I, you know, I would love a hunt like that too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, cause that I have like, if I was going to go and hunt in Texas, I would want to hunt just hogs. I think
we'd go see the ranch ferry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would just as soon hunt hogs than like go down there and I wouldn't give two shits about shooting a deer in Texas, like off a ranch or something.
Was it the Neil guy or whatever? Those would be, I mean, but a hog that when I think of going to Texas, I think of shooting hogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to go like do the Jeff Fox really thing where you sit in the, Well, I mean, who's the dude with the Larry Weishin or whatever? Like that would be fun. You know, get me some leather gloves that I draw camel.
Yeah, right.
Just yellow
gloves on all the time, man. I'm going like, man, that dude's got them yellow gloves.
He's probably got more money than God, and he's like, I'm going to use my ranch gloves.
Yeah, but it reminds me of Foghorn Leghorn, you know?
Look at me when I'm talking to your boy.
Look at my face when I'm talking to your son.
But, I mean, like I say, for me, like, that's what I think about. Like, if I was going to spend any exorbitant amount of money, I'm telling you for real that the hunt that we did, we need to find a hunt like the hunt that we did in Colorado where, you know, it costs a little bit of money, but to do a spike camp where they just go and drop you off.
Yeah.
And then you got whatever amount of time. They do that for bow and whatnot. And yeah, it's gonna cost a little bit of money, but it's not. I mean, I was paying for the experience, right? Like, right. And I 100% got my money's worth, and it was way different. I would imagine because you've hunted at you've been on guided hunts, Frank.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure you had a ball. You got kind of screwed over on one of them, I think, right? But
a little bit. But I mean, other than that, yeah.
And the other one, you missed the biggest deer you've ever seen in your whole life at 20 yards,
yes,
broadside.
Yes.
Right. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. You can't stick it in any farther than that. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm just saying, you know.
Can't make it any clearer there.
No, it's pretty clear there. You know.
So you would have gotten your money's worth. Would have been a great time. But
I still got my money's worth. Don't get me wrong. I had enough fucking clay on my shoes, you know. I could have played in the garden when I come home.
Figures size 13s were like size 23s. It looked like this is like Bigfoot out
here. Oh, that's a Sasquatch right there. That's Sasquatch tracks.
Frank, it looks like he's got freaking snowshoes on. It's all clay.
When I got back up there after dark, he goes, "How come you're so tired?" I said, "Look at what I'm carrying with me."
40 pounds of clay on each foot.
Oh, but to that point, you know, like what we did was it was guided, but sit here or there, we'll be back in 5 days. Like it wasn't like, you know, well if you shoot him, it's going to be another $4,000.
Yeah, right. You know, my experience now, you know, with out here in Colorado, you know, we hunted out of that house the first year and then 2 years we did camps, you know. And then last year we hunted, you know, where we had accommodations, you know, and land. And I think this year you'll see that it's going to be, you know, weather was a real bitch last year. You know, I mean, it was so hot and, you know, it was terrible.
Well, back in 2020, it was really, when you guys got the snow and
that's when you got snowed off the mountain.
And smoke. Yeah, snow drew off the mountain.
Wasn't it smoke?
Oh, smoke too, yeah.
Yeah, because that's when I was in Montana.
Yeah. But, you know, all in all, you know, I mean, I haven't drawn my bow back, you know. This would be my, I think, the fifth year, you know. But I enjoy the experience, you know. The camps were fun, you know, and that'd be kind of like a drop camp. But I haven't been in a drop camp yet, you know, but that would be cool, you know.
But I mean, if you put like the ego and like the bravado aside, and I'm basically talking to John here, but you know, how much money do you have in hunting in Montana or Colorado, and you haven't drawn your bow, and you know, so we've been to Idaho, you've been to Montana, like. The cost of these hunts by the time you add up to your success, whatever it be, you know, you could probably take that $5,000 or $7,000, do, you know, a guided or semi-guided hunt, like the moose hunt, like we're talking about.
Yeah. And
I don't think you'd regret it. You might look at that moose and be like, well, you know, I didn't do it myself, but.
Well, something like that, like even like I
don't know anything about moose hunting, you see? So
no, well, yeah, exactly.
It'd be very difficult.
one, this might sound odd, but like one hunt that I'd really like to do is I would like to go up to Alaska and caribou hunt.
Like, yeah. We just want to shoot something at 92 yards.
150 yards, you know?
No, I just, yeah, I mean, I want to see
Alaska. I told you I could get him at 150.
Just something about, I mean, and those, like, I don't know if you can even, I mean, you can do an unguided hunt, but, you know.
You got to have a.
You got to have something.
A native or whatever, somebody who lives there to go with you.
Right. In which, I mean, we know people in Alaska. I mean.
Right.
But that's the, I feel like those hunts. Because my grandpa's had done them in like Newfoundland,
mm-hmm.
and he shot too. But I mean, again, this is a peek into my childhood. Like we'd go out and lay on the log pile, and there was elk racks, and then there was caribou, and there was all sorts of stuff. And the caribou seemed like smaller, but when he ended up going up there, he said that like they weren't on the big migration, and it was like open up your pocketbook and spend another $3,000 or whatever, and they'll put you in the helicopters, drop you
right
on the on the zone. So like that's the tough part about that is like if you're gonna do it as like a once in a lifetime hunt, like, and I think the way that the tethered guy did it is like they lived in a van, like one of those like overlanding things, and they just chased them, right?
Right. Well, they have it. It's the road. There's this road.
Yeah, the road.
And, you know, they catch them when they're crossing it. That's actually pretty. I think I've seen Chris B's video where the one year they went up there. No, I think the last time they flew in and got it was like a drop off and they killed a couple caribou. But something like that would be awesome. Like get flown in, dropped off. You know, you got this area to hunt. We'll be back in 10 days if the weather lets us, you know.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, that to me, just being up there in Alaska would be cool. But the moose hunt, like what you're saying, I'm in for something like
that. When you mentioned Newfoundland, though, I've talked to Wilkes about that, you know, and they definitely were talking about hunting Newfoundland.
Yeah. So, like I said, like I know my grandpa went up there. And that's where he had shot caribou, and like he'd went to shot some bears in Canada and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, I mean, Africa. I mean, so the thing is like talking to Billy, right? And we were just at the NWTF banquet, and like nobody, he said like go to Safari Club International or whatever, one of these things where they auction off one of them, and you can get your whole thing without transportation for nothing. But like, I can't afford the taxidermy. Like that's the thing. It's like, you have a $10,000 taxidermy bill, you know, you spend $2,500 on flights, $1,000 to get down there. And then, I mean, all the taxidermy stays there. They do it there. They crate all of it up and they ship it home. Like I couldn't afford the shipping on the taxidermy, you know,
can you ship me the horns?
Yeah.
Well, like if we do the moose hunt, you know, I'll mount them sons of bitches for you. You know what
I mean? You've been getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, I'm getting better at it. You know.
So, Frank, now that we got you lubed up, you know, episode 300, Tales of the Garbage Man, maybe like a, you know,
I don't know. I've been away from it for so long, you know?
Yeah. Like you don't have any
stories. But I did want to reiterate on a hunt that Johnny and I did that time that we went up to, you were going to go up to.
Yeah. Like
Custer Road or whatever.
Going hunting tomorrow? Yeah. Where are you going to go? I'll go up to the Pines. I'll come with you. Like, all right. Where do you want to? I'll just get out.
We parked the truck and he went this way and he goes, where are you going? I said, I just go over here, you know. So I go through the pines, and I get to the swale, and I'm going, ah, shit, it's getting daylight, you know. Look to my left, you know, and a little nectar, you know. That tree looks good right there. You know? Go climb a tree. About, hour later, I shoot this buck, right? So I go back to the truck, you know.
What'd you see, John?
I don't think you saw anything, did you? Or you saw some deer?
I seen a couple that crossed
the road, dude. Yeah. How'd you do, Uncle Frank? Yeah. We got to go get a buck over here. Right?
I got a buck. Like, fuck. Fucking clown. Walks in the dark and gets in a tree and shoots a deer.
Yeah. And if that was the only time it happened, it would be like, oh.
Right. No,
it was a regular occurrence, you know? So, but Frank, you got to have something baking up there. Or if you could, John's dad has since passed away. And you got 900 stories. The statute of limitations are all gone.
The old man.
About, like, the state record steelhead or.
What about the salmon
up on the river?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Have you guys, this could still be trouble.
No, that's long gone now.
Actually shot a fish with a bow, right? I mean, you know.
You didn't shoot it.
This is so, the thing. Like,
so what happened? Here's what happened. We're up there.
What year is this? Just
so I don't know.
Probably before I was born.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Coleman was with us.
Okay.
So how old were you when Coleman was, do you know?
Well, I was probably 10 then.
Okay. So.
So 40 years ago.
Yeah. So we're up on, you know. So
Frank's 31 years old.
We're bow hunting, you know, in middle of the day, you know. Your old man said, let's run over here to the river, you know, Buck Creek, you know. So we go over there, you know, walk down there and. All of a sudden, your dad goes, oh, man, look at this fish right there on the bed, man. I'm going to get my bow, man. So he goes back and gets his bow, right? And he's shooting an overdraw then with the blue, you know.
The blue
arrow. X7s. They're X7s, they were called. They were the best arrow you could buy back then, yeah. As far as strength and stuff.
They were like an 1814 or
something. Yeah, but he was shooting them with an overdraw, so they're a small arrow. So he goes in the...
They're salmon.
Distinct fletch, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and he shoots his fish and boom, it takes off, you know. We don't think much of it, you know. So we fired around there a little bit, you know. So then we left. So next weekend, you know, this is a week. This is a week, dude. We go back. We walk down there, you know. Here's this damn fish on the bed. Arrow's like... You know, like this, you know, I'm going, holy shit, you know, he goes, go get your bow. So I go get my bow, right? I'm shooting double X75s with four black fletch. Okay. And I right. Almost hit his arrow, you know, fish takes off, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, that's a tough fish, you know? So I just laid my bow down. I only had one arrow with me. I laid my bow down. So I'm going to get my rod. You know, I had my rod in the back of the blazer, you know. So I go back there and get my rod and stuff. You know, I'm over there, you know. And I'm farting around fishing, you know. And they're on the bank there, you know. And all of a sudden, your dad, he goes, there's a warden coming, he says, like that. He goes, what? He said, just seen his badge shine over there, you know, crossing the creek.
That's how you know you've done some shady things.
So anyway, comes up there, sure as shit, man, two game wards, you know. They start questioning, you know, I knew the one, didn't know the other one. Your dad knew both of them.
Of course.
So and it was like, you know, we're sitting there, you know, talking, you know, and oh, you've been doing a little fishing, eh? Yeah. Fly on, you know. Yeah. It wasn't snagging or nothing. It did fly on, you know, yeah. Whose bow is that? Well, that's mine. What are you doing with the bow down here? I said, a little practice, you know. Lost my arrow.
So, true story.
So anyways, you know, as your dad and the guy he really knew, you know, Eddie Britton was his name. Mm-hmm. they sit against these cedar trees with their back to the river. And I'm sitting there, you know, and Howard Cook goes downstream because there was a guy fishing downstream, you know. So he heads downstream, the game warden, the other one. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I remember they're bullshitting, you know, and all of a sudden I look, and here comes this son of a bitch up the river with the two arrows sticking out of it like this. They're like flags waving. I'm not shitting you. And I'm going, oh, my God. You know, and I knew where she was going. She's going back to the bed, you know. And this ain't 10 feet behind these guys, you know. And I'm going, my heart's just sunk, you know. I'm starting to pick my shit up, and I'm going, Henry, I said, you know, if we're going to hunt tonight, you know, we got to get, you know, and I'm just like, you know, like this, you know, grab my crap. And he goes, man, what the hell's your hair? You know, and everything, you know, and then, you know, they're still sitting against the tree. And she, there she is right there behind them, you know, and I'm going, man, I said, I'm telling you, if we, you know, if we're going to hunt that one spot tonight, we're going to have to get in there a little early. And, you know, and I'm packing up. I'm leaving, you know, I'm heading across the creek, you know. So they both get up. And for some reason, he don't turn around. Then they start walking. You know, and they walk across the creek, and I'm throwing my shit in the blazer, you know, and we're getting in there, you know, and he's going, hey, Ed, you need a ride up the hill, you know? I'll walk, you know. I'm going, get in the goddamn truck, you know? He gets in there, you know, and he's going, man, what the hell's the matter with you? And I said, John, I said, that fish with both them arrows is sitting on the bed right behind. Oh, my God. He said, drive up. Let's get out. We took off. Man, and I mean, we're
like Dukes of Hazzard. It was.
We're going down them roads, man. And he goes, I still don't see him back. But, oh, that was, man, I mean, if you're ever going to have a heart attack, that was it, dude. I mean, it was like, wow. It was nuts. And never, you know, heard nothing from them. But it was the only two arrows that you could identify. I mean, both of us.
You know? At least you didn't have another black one in your quiver, though.
Yeah, right.
they were like,
no.
Yeah, let's go get Frank.
Yeah. No, there was nothing in there. I just brought an arrow down there and shot it.
Right. You know? That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, there was no quiver.
Getting in trouble because your daughter's saying, hey,
oh, sorry.
Keep it down.
Keep it down. she'll understand.
Yeah. The deal, man. Yeah. I know. You know, honestly, this is one of the things about this podcast, too, that it's like when you've passed on and Stella could watch this video of her grandpa talking about, you know, the shady things that he's done. They'll appreciate it, you know. So
it's like when she was over the house the other day, she came over, you know, I'd been pulling bushes out with the truck, you know, and I says, she didn't get over there in time, you know, and I says, yeah, I said, I'm not going to let you drive the truck, Stella, to pull them bushes out. Really? I says, yeah. She goes, well, let's do it now. I said, I got them all pulled out.
Let's pull that one.
Yeah, she was ready. You let me drive the truck?
Yeah. So I this is what we're going to do. I got one more that I want, but I'm going to save it because I don't think Frank would tell it on the real podcast, but I'm going to get it for the Patreons. So I'm going to post it up in the Patreon page, but we're going to stop the real podcast right now. So, cause I know Frank will be like, oh, I can't tell that about stuff, but people got to hear it. I want to have it documented. So, for the people that have, you know, supported the show and everything for the last forever, you
know, 300 episodes,
300, yeah, 300 episodes, you know, we appreciate the, relationships that we've made more than anything else. I mean, it's been an incredible journey and can't wait for the next 300 more. I mean, John said I just made him sign the thing tonight for another 300 episodes and he's got to say at least one word on each one of them to fulfill his
this is the most I've said this is the most I've talked on an episode in a long time, so I got part of my quota in,
right? So that's what we got for today, but we're going to do a special Patreon caveat after this one. So check out our Patreon page. Thanks for listening. Thank you.